Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
Good morning, everybody. Good morning. How is everybody feeling today? I'm not gonna lie, I'm impressed. You guys still have a lot of energy for being all the way at the end of camp. Yeah! Yeah! That is awesome. I don't know how you do it, but I'm impressed. Well, we are here now. Saturday morning, the last chapel session of camp. I know it's a bittersweet thing to look back and see the fun that you got to have this week, to know that it had to come to an end, but also the joy of being able to go home, back into your normal routine, to see your friends and family that you maybe haven't gotten to see this week. But before we head out, we are going to hear the words of Jesus one more time. But before we jump into today's passage, we have some guests with us back behind you, some of your parents, people who are here to drive. And so, while you all have been here the whole week, they have not. So I thought it'd be good if we got them caught up about what we've been talking about, the things we've had, and so that they would know all the things that you know. So let's, if you know something, raise your hand. What did we talk about this week? What were some of the things that stood out to you? What were some of the main ideas? Yes. Suffering. So, yes. What a joyous one to start on. Even before that, Jesus as king, but also Jesus as our suffering king. So the fact that he had to go to the cross because of our sin and suffered the death that we deserved. Yes. Our incarnate king. Yes. So the idea that he is God and man, fully God, but also fully man. So he had the power to do what needed to be done, but also had the same temptations and struggles as we do as people. Yes. He's the holy king. And so he's complete in all of his attributes that we talked about. He is fully holy beyond anything that we could ever obtain ourselves. Yes. He's the reigning king. So not only did he do all these things in the past, not only do we get to read about him in the Bible, but then he ascended to the throne where he continues to reign today. Yes. The promised king. Yes, that was Sunday night. His rule and reign, everything didn't just happen by chance. It was the plan of God put into action, and it was told to the people by the prophets hundreds and hundreds of years before Jesus ever came. The wise king. And so his wisdom, his rule, the way he conducts his kingdom is the only foundation that is strong enough to support our lives. Yeah, back in the corner. Yeah. Empathetic king, yes. So not only all those other things, but because he came and lived with us, he can relate to us because he experienced the same things that we all experience on a day-to-day basis. Yeah, in the back. Yeah. The serving king. He was a king. He had authority and power and rule. But he didn't come down and get served. He served others and then calls us to follow him in that example and doing the same. Yes, blue shirt. Yeah. Interceding king. Yes. So because of our sin, we were on a path towards God's judgment and towards our rightful spot in that judgment, yet he stepped in, he interceded, and he changed that outcome through his death. Yeah. And the redeeming king. That change cost something. In order to step in, he had to pay the price for our sins because it cost something. We'll go two more. Yes. Yeah, promise king, like we talked about. Promise king told long before he ever came. One more. Empowering king. Exactly right. So all the things that he calls us to do, all the things that it takes to live in his kingdom, he doesn't leave us on our own to do, but he empowers us. He gives us the ability to do all of those things. That was a lot. It was a lot. So you guys are all cut up for the whole week. I'm sure you fully understand everything. But now we're moving on to the last thing we have to say about Jesus for this week, which is the fact that he is the returning king. He is reigning at the right hand of God in heaven, but he will come again. If you have your Bibles with you, I don't know, they may be packed, but if you have them with you, I'd encourage you to open up to Revelation 21. We were in Revelation 20, we were in the book of Revelation last night, and I just want to give a quick reminder of the context of the fact that there are a lot of things debated in this book that we do not have answers to. There's a lot of things that really smart Christians have talked and debated about and disagreed upon, but I would encourage us to focus in on the truths of the gospel that John presents to us in Revelation 21 here today, this morning. So we're going to start in verse 1. I'll read for us, and we'll go through verse 7. Starts in verse 1, chapter 21. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Look, God's dwelling place is now among the people. And he will dwell with them. They will be his people, and he himself will be their, be them and their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away." He who is seated on the throne said, "I am making everything new." Then he said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." He said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty, I will give water without cost from the spring of the water of life. Those who are victorious will inherit this, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." What a beautiful, beautiful picture that is. We talked a little bit last night about how when Jesus came and died on the cross, he started the work of bringing heaven back together with earth. Just like it was in the garden after creation, before the fall, where God's dwelling place was with Adam and Eve. They got to walk with him. They got to talk to him. In a closeness that was that has not been experienced by anybody else since. And yet, that is what we're looking forward to. When Jesus returns and brings the kingdoms fully together, we will be able to experience that again, and that is what our souls are looking for. That is what we long for. Just imagine what it must have been like for Adam and Eve. Walking alongside him with not a hint of guilt, of shame, of anxiety, nothing. Just fullness of the joy and peace of being with God. That's hard to imagine now because sin has infected every area of the world now. There's the separation that happened in the fall because God and sin cannot coexist. And if you would read the story of creation, as I read it growing up, I was often confused of why did God do that? Why did he have to send them out of the garden? It kind of felt like he abandoned them. But that separation that God caused was out of his kindness and care. It was a necessary separation for our sake. That was the most loving thing he could have done for them in that moment. It's because, as we've talked about, God is holy. He is perfectly righteous. There's not a hint of sin in him. And he cannot coexist in the same area as sin. Because if he does, he wipes out sin. As light casts away shadows and completely obliterates darkness. God destroys sin. And so if Adam and Eve would have stayed in the presence of God, they would have died. There was no way they could have stood up to the holiness because they had chosen to sin. In the same way, we see this confirmed in the Old Testament, where the priests of the tribe of Israel, the country of Israel, would often take sacrifices for the people. And the high priest would take a sacrifice every once in a while into the Holy of Holies. This was the very, very center of the temple. This was the place where the presence of God was known to be the most concentrated. It was the most important place in the center of the city. And so priests had to do very specific things in order to enter that room. They had to tie a rope around their waist. And that rope often had bells. And the purpose for that was if they had not done the right steps of cleansing themselves, of offering sacrifices up for their own sins, of that preparation to enter into the presence of God, they would drop dead. And they would just be there. No one could go in there to get them because that's where the presence of God was. And the presence of God destroys sin. But it didn't stay like that because, as we talked about, Jesus came. He lived a life that we couldn't live, died a death that we deserve, and then raised to life 3 days later, conquering the powers of sin and death. And when that happened, the veil in the temple at the center that separated the holies of holies from the rest of the temple tore in two. And that shows us that there's no longer that separation between us and God. There's no longer just that one spot where the presence of God is concentrated. Yet because of Jesus' payment for our sin, he now is with us. We can live with him. And yet, that is still not fully complete. As you know, it's easy to look around and see the effects of sin and evil all around us, which is why we need Jesus to return. The kingdom has been started, but it is not fully here yet. But in this passage, we see what that kingdom will be like. We see the beautiful picture of right relationship with God without anything separating us. We see that John says they will be his people and he will be their God. And then after that, what that means, that very next verse, he will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Can you even imagine what that would be like? No pain, no crying, no mourning. A closeness with God where we're so close to him, he is able to reach and wipe away our tears. What a beautiful thing that is. And that is what our hearts are longing for. Whether people are able to put words to it who have heard this message and know that's what they're seeking or not, that is what we all seek. That's all what we all want, and we often look for it in different places. And Paul talks about this in Philippians, where in Philippians 3, 20 through 21, he says, "But our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who by the power enables him to bring everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious bodies." Guys, this is not our home here on earth. Our home is with Jesus, with the King who saved us, who wants to draw us in, who wants to be with us. Our home is with him. It's crazy. It is crazy to think that this world that we are not citizens of, that is not our home, could supply the things that we need. The very foundation that we need in order to feel that, to have that joy and peace that only comes from God. No, the world cannot supply that. But like I said, that's what everybody's searching for. And everybody will have to make a choice. And now you guys have come to the end of the week. You've heard the good news. You've heard the things about Jesus. Some of you have made a choice. Some of you have claimed Jesus to be your king for the first time this week. We are so, so happy for you. What an amazing thing that is. But now you're about to head home. We're gonna be away from camp, back in our normal routine. And that's when the choices start piling up. Of the day-to-day, of waking up in the morning and choosing to let God guide you through that day. To put your own desires, to put your own wants and needs aside and let God determine what those are for you. To trust in His wisdom to guide you, in His power to give you the things that you need to face the day. To really fully submit to His rule as king. But not only that, but then to share it with others. You guys, this hope that we have is a very, very important thing. If you truly, truly believe that this hope has saved you from the powers of death, you should share it with others. Don't keep it to yourself. Don't hold on to that. Because there are others who haven't heard that hope, who haven't understood that hope like maybe you do. And they are not headed towards life. And they need to hear that. They need to hear that in truth and love. Remember the balance of truth and love. Truth without love, it can be harmful. And love without truth is not real love. So I want to challenge you that to consider now as you get ready to go home, to think, how will your life be different? Will you follow His rule? Will you trust that Jesus not only knows, but wants what is best for you now, here, today, and for the rest of your life? Will you allow Him to guide your life even when you don't understand it? Even when you think you had an idea of what you needed, but God says, no, I have another plan for you. Will you trust Him in that? Will you trust in that wisdom and care that He has demonstrated to you and those who have come before you? And then will you share it with others? Will you turn to the empowering King to give you the courage to boldly declare His name to others? To share that hope of the gospel that saves, of Jesus' sacrifice for us. If you'll join me in prayer, I'm going to close this out. God Almighty, blessed be the name of Jesus who gave His life for us, who reigns over all things, and will return to bring us home. May Your name be made known throughout all the earth, and may Your praise be sung by every people and in every language. We thank You for the work of Christ that saved us from our sin and brought us as citizens into His kingdom. May we rely fully on the holy wisdom of our righteous King to guide and direct us each day. Lord, as we head back home today, back into our communities, into our schools, our churches, our neighborhoods, may we be vessels through which Your light shines, illuminating the darkness of the world and spreading the hope that can only come from You. Would You guide us in our walk with You, cause us to grow and mature in our faith, and reveal to us just a bit more of Your glory each day. And may we better understand the importance of the cross, what was done for us there, and why we needed it each day. Forgive us of our sins and lead us away from temptations so that we may know You. Thank You for Your love and Your care that surrounds us daily. Now may the God of peace who bought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, the great shepherd of the sheep, by the blood of the eternal covenant, equip you with everything good that you may do His will, working in us that which is pleasing in His sight, through Jesus Christ, to Him whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.